ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम द फिफ्थ कैंटो ऑफ द श्रीमद् भागवतम चैप्टर 13 एंटाइटल्ड रहुगणा कॉन्वर्सेस विद जड भरत टेक्स्ट नंबर 11।
क्वचिच्च शीता तपवात वर्षा प्रतिक्रियां कर्तुमनीशास्ते क्वचिन्मिथो विपनन्याच्च किञ्चि विद्वेषमृच्छत्युत वित्तशाढ्यात् क्वचिच्च शीता तपवर्ष।
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: sometimes the living entity is busy counteracting the natural disturbances of freezing cold, scorching heat, strong wind, excessive rainfall, and so forth. When he is unable to do so, he becomes very unhappy. Sometimes he is cheated in business transactions one after another. In this way, by cheating, living entities create enmity among themselves. Purport: this is an example of the struggle for existence, the attempt to counteract the onslaught of material nature. This creates enmity in society, and consequently society is filled with envious people. One person is envious of another, and this is the way of the material world. The Krishna consciousness movement aims at creating an atmosphere of non-envy. Of course, it is not possible for everyone to become Krishna conscious, but the Krishna consciousness movement can create an exemplary society where there is no envy. So Srila Prabhupada, in his purport here, is making a very wonderful statement. One person is envious of another, and this is the way of the material world. The Krishna consciousness movement is aimed at creating an atmosphere of non-envy. So we'll try to focus on these two statements of Srila Prabhupada and try to analyze, based on the scriptures, the subject matter of envy. We shall talk about the root of envy, the results of envy, the characteristics of an envious person, non-enviousness as a qualification for spiritual progress, and lastly, how to become non-envious, or how to deal with envy. So, the first is, what is the root of this deadly disease, this deadly anartha in the heart, which is called as envy? So what we do in our life, whatever activity we engage in, is not so much important, but with what motivation and with what desire we do it is what is counted and is what is important. An activity is judged as material or spiritual based on the particular motivation and the particular desire based on which it is executed. When an activity is motivated by a material desire, it becomes a material activity. When the same activity is motivated by a spiritual desire, it becomes a spiritual activity. Therefore, Kaviraj Goswami explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Atmendriya priti vachcha tare de bolikam, Krishnendriya priti iccha dhare premanam. Atmendriya priti vancha. When one wants to gratify one's own indriyas, one's own senses, then it is called as kama. When one wants to gratify Krishna's indriyas, Krishna's senses, it is called as prema. The activity is the same, gratification of senses. There is no change in the activity. Gratification of senses and activity remains common. But when the desire is gratification of senses on a personal level, it is calm, material. When the desire is gratification of Krishna's senses, it is prema or spiritual. Like one devotee was giving example that when the Titanic was floating on the waters, it came across an iceberg and the Titanic was destroyed. Now what is an iceberg? An iceberg is water transformed in another shape and form. The same water which is the cause for the Titanic to float in another shape and form became the cause of Titanic's destruction. Water made the Titanic float and water made the Titanic reach its destruction. Water in its liquid form made the Titanic float. Water in its solid form as an iceberg made the Titanic reach its final destruction. So it's the same water. But when one form is the cause of floating, in another form is the cause of destruction. Similarly, desire, when it is dovetailed in service to Krishna, is the cause of our upliftment. The same desire, when it is directed towards one's own sense gratification, is the cause of our destruction and devastation. So what is material, what is spiritual, depends on one's desire. If one's desire is to enjoy one's own senses, it is material and is going to be the cause of our destruction. When the desire is to give gratification to Krishna's senses, it is spiritual and is going to be the cause of our upliftment. We all existed once in the spiritual world, rendering service to Krishna, cooperating with Krishna. Our enjoyment depends on giving enjoyment to Krishna. Prabhupada gives two examples for this. He says, number one, when there is a rich man, and the rich man has a chauffeur, the chauffeur is driving his car, the rich man has a fantastic car, an AC car, a very comfortable car, and he has a GPRS system also installed in his car. All the facilities are there in the car. The rich man is definitely enjoying the facilities. The rich man cannot stop the chauffeur, the driver, enjoy these facilities also. Because when the driver is driving the car, as the rich man is enjoying the AC, the driver is also enjoying the AC. When the rich man is enjoying the stereophonic system, the driver is also enjoying the stereophonic system. The rich man cannot say, my dear driver, come on, from tomorrow you have to bring a blanket, okay? You have to cover yourself with a blanket. I am the enjoyer of the AC, you are not. From tomorrow you are supposed to bring earplugs. Put the earplugs in your ear. When I hear Michael Jackson, you should not be hearing Michael Jackson. I am the enjoyer, you are not. Prabhupada explains, so long as the driver cooperates with the owner of the car, he also enjoys the facility of the car. So also, so long as we cooperate with the owner of the spiritual world, Krishna, we also enjoy the facilities of the spiritual world. But as soon as the driver says, I want to be independent, he says, my dear owner, now you get down, I am going to be the owner of the car. The owner says, now that's enough, okay? You're going to be sacked out of this job. You're not going to continue with this job. And the same fellow who was cooperating with the owner and getting all the facilities, now is on the streets in the heat of the summer sun. He was sitting in an AC car throughout the day driving the owner. And now because he's gone against the owner, he's on the streets. So also, when we tell Krishna, my dear Krishna, you are the owner, now you step down, get out. I want to be the owner. I want to be the independent enjoyer. Then all those facilities which we were enjoying with Krishna, we can no longer enjoy. Krishna takes us out of the spiritual world and we come here to the streets of the material world
to suffer the scorching heat of the miseries inflicted upon us by the material energy. Prabhupada gives another example. He gives the example of a husband and a wife. He explains that in the relationship between the husband and the wife, the husband is the Purusha, the enjoyer, and the wife is the Prakriti, the enjoyed. When the Prakriti cooperates with the Purusha, when the wife cooperates with the husband and tries to give enjoyment to the husband, in turn she is also enjoying.
Right.
It's not that the husband is the only enjoyer when the wife cooperates and the wife is left high and dry.
No.
When the wife cooperates with the husband, then in that relationship, the husband definitely enjoys, but the wife also experiences enjoyment. But her enjoyment is dependent on giving enjoyment to the husband and cooperating with the husband. Prabhupada explains, so also, Krishna is the Purusha and we, the living entity, are the Prakriti. Our enjoyment, our happiness depends on cooperating with Krishna. So when we desire to cooperate with Krishna and serve Krishna, we definitely enjoy. That desire to serve Krishna takes five shapes and forms. The desire is one but takes several forms. Like, you know, one devotee was giving our new bhakta class and it was a cooking class. So he said, today I am going to teach you different varieties of rice. What he did was he put at least about 5 kilos of rice in the steamer and made plain rice. And then took a part of it, added some coconut and gave it, chonk, that became coconut rice. Added some lemon and some haldi chonk, that became lemon rice. Added some saffron, some sugar syrup, that became kesari bhat.
Right.
Added some tamarind chutney and some fried peanuts, that became puliogre, tamarind rice. Basically one rice, is it not? One steamed boiled rice took the shape and form of different flavors. So also when one cooperates with Krishna in the spiritual world, it's one common thing, service to Krishna. That is the boiling desire. And then it takes several shapes and forms. Five different forms. The five rasas. Shantaras, Dasyaras, Sakhyaras, Madhuryaras, and Vatsalyaras. In every rasa, the underlying factor is service to Krishna, desire to serve Krishna. Like in all these varieties of rice, the underlying factor is rice. But the flavor changes. Tamarind makes it tamarind rice, sugar makes it kesari bhat, lemon makes it lemon rice. So also this one aspect of service to Krishna takes different flavors. Of service in neutrality, service in servitorship, service as a friend, service as a parent, service as a lover. Right? But it all goes on only when we desire to serve Krishna. But as soon as we say, no, I don't want to serve you, I want to be independent, then we are sent to this material world. When we come to this material also, there is one underlying desire only. And what is that desire? I want to be the Lord. I want to be the controller. I want to be the enjoyer. There is no two things. In the spiritual world, there is one thing, desire to serve Krishna. And the material world, there is one thing, desire to serve myself. Krishnendriya priti vancha, atmendriya priti iccha. There is nothing else. These are the only two principles. The principle of the spiritual world, service to Krishna. Principle of the material world, service to the senses. In the spiritual world, the desire to serve Krishna takes five forms. In the material world, the desire to serve oneself and one's senses takes six forms. And those are the six anarthas in the heart. Lust, anger, envy, illusion, greed and pride. Whatever it is, the underlying factor is the same.
Right.
It may be lust, it may be envy, it may be greed, it may be pride, it may be illusion. Whether it's tamarind rice, it's sweet rice, or it's lemon rice, the underlying factor is always rice.
Right.
So either of these anarthas, the underlying factor is always, I want to be the independent enjoyer. I have a desire to satisfy my
senses and not give satisfaction to Krishna's senses.
So what is the root of envy? The root of envy is the desire to enjoy independent of Krishna.
Right.
So we come to this material world with this desire only.
Right.
To serve ourselves, and the outcome is envy. And therefore, anything in this world that does not support our enjoyment fosters our envy even further.
Right.
Like His Holiness Devamrita Swami gives example that every person in this world wants to fulfill his desires to enjoy sense gratification. But the problem is he does not have facilities only. Just like in a college, there is a beautiful girl and there is a boy who falls in love with this girl. Devamrita Swami gives this example.
Right.
I am just repeating verbatim. Otherwise it doesn't seem like corresponding to what I am sitting and talking of. He explains, this boy falls in love with this girl, but the problem is this boy is a bhikmanga, phaticher,
right?
He is a fakir, a beggar. Now he wants to go and propose to this girl. The problem, he is a fakir and she is an amirjadi.
Right.
She is the daughter of a rich man. There is a high degree of incompatibility in the two. Now when this guy wants to enjoy with her, propose to her, he thinks, how am I going to do it? I need good clothes, I need good shoes, I need a good car, I need good perfumes to impress her. But I have nothing. So there are many, many friends who are sitting there. They say, come on, don't worry. We will give you the facilities. So one friend lends him a suit, a three-piece suit. Another friend says, you use my shoes. Another friend says, you use my car. So this guy takes all the different facilities from his different friends and prepares himself very well, grooms himself nicely, and then comes in front of this girl to propose to her. And as he comes fully prepared, he finds another rich boy coming and putting his arm around this girl and walking off. And he looks at this boy and says, sorry, she is my girlfriend. Okay. Now Devamrita Swami was explaining, can you imagine the extent of envy that could rise up in his heart? Why? Because his desire to enjoy her are curtailed and completely frustrated. He explains, the conditioned soul is like that bhikmanga phaticher fellow. Right? This material world is like a college, and all of us, the conditioned souls, are like that beggar,
right?
That bhikmanga. The material energy is like the beautiful girl.
Right?
Just like this boy wants to propose to enjoy with this girl, each of us want to propose to the material energy, exploit her and enjoy her. But the problem is, even if we want to do so, we don't have the facilities. Therefore, then all the different devatas are like the friends. So we go to the different devatas and say, give me this. From this devata we say, give me this. Please give me long life. Please give me a strong body. Please give me this. Because with a long life, with a strong body, with this and that, I can enjoy with her the material energy. And then somehow by worshipping devatas and doing whatnot, we gather all of these resources and we come right at the juncture, the opportune moment,
right,
where we want to enjoy with the material energy and exploit her. And then that rich fellow comes and says, Mama Maya Duratheya. She is mine, you know. She is Mama Maya. You see. She is not yours. Sorry. You see. We can imagine, we came here out of an independent desire to enjoy separate from Krishna, and we are trying to do it now, and we are completely baffled and frustrated in all our efforts. Krishna doesn't allow us to do it easy. We can imagine the extent of envy that will be fostered in our heart because we are not able to enjoy the resources of this nature. Therefore, it is said, success brings pride and failure brings envy. So when we are successful in exploiting the resources of material nature, we become proud, a competitor to Krishna. And when we fail in enjoying the resources of material nature, what happens? There's already envy. and it increases all the more. One devotee was giving example that a scorpion stings like anything and is poisonous, very harmful to others. But when a scorpion is in the fire, the scorpion is harmful to itself.
Why?
Because when a scorpion is in the fire, the blazing inferno of the flames of the fire trouble the scorpion so much that the scorpion starts stinging itself and dies out of its own poison, right? So this devotee was explaining that we are like the scorpion,
right?
Envy is already there, but prosperity and success in enjoying material resources is like the fire.
Right.
If the success is not there, at least it's alright, we'll be frustrated and finish it. But when there is success, prosperity, then that poison increases all the more. Envy increases all the more. And it brings our doom, our destruction. So what is the root of envy? The root of envy is the independent desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. And the example is very clear. The underlying principle is the same. It manifests in different anarthas in the material world. Desire to enjoy separate from Krishna, 6 anarthas. Desire to serve Krishna in the spiritual world, 5 rasas.
Right.
That's the root of envy. What is the result of envy in the heart? When we foster this envy within our heart in the material world, the 6th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam explains what are the results of envy. Vidvesha nashtamataya striyo daruna chetasah vidvesha. Vidvesha means envy. Shukdev Goswami explains, if one has vidvesha, envy within the heart, what are the results? 2 things happen. First is daruna chetasah. Cheta means the heart and daru means wood. One becomes hard-hearted like a log of wood. Vidveshah daruna chetasa. And secondly, vidveshah nashta matayah. Because of envy or vidveshah nashta matayah, one loses one's intelligence. One's intelligence is destroyed. One cannot see things for what they are. Nashta matayah. So these are the 2 things primarily that happen when one becomes envious within his heart. First is, he becomes daruna chetah or hard hearted. In order to achieve the mercy of Krishna, one has to become soft hearted, not hard hearted. And one very senior devotee, disciple of Srila Prabhupada, was explaining, Krishna stealing butter is a very significant pastime. Why is Krishna stealing butter a significant pastime? Krishna is not after the butter. Krishna is after the heart. Krishna stealing butter has 3 aspects to it. When Krishna would steal butter, number 1, he would steal fresh butter, which is very soft. Secondly, he would steal butter which is extremely white. And thirdly, he would steal butter only in the early morning hours. This devotee was explaining. Right. Why? Number 1, he would steal butter which is very soft, fresh. And this devotee was saying, Krishna is not after the butter, Krishna is after the heart. And unless one's heart is soft like soft butter, Krishna will never steal our heart away. Secondly, he would steal only butter that which is very clean and white and pristine. He said similarly, Krishna will only steal our heart when it is clean and pure, nirmala. So long as it is pervaded with this anarthas of lust, anger, illusion, envy, greed, pride, Krishna will never steal our heart. And thirdly, Krishna would steal the butter in the early morning hours, Brahma Muhurta hours. And he was explaining that he would steal butter in the early morning hours because the gopas would leave for the forest along with their calves to tend the calves in the morning hours. and in the daytime, or in the daytime it would be light, and therefore to steal butter would be hard. And in the evening, Mother Jashoda would be waiting for Krishna to come back, so he couldn't go to steal, because Mother Jashoda would come to know that there is something cooking up there. Therefore Krishna would go in the Brahma Muhurta hours. They were anyways going to tend the calves, so they would go to the homes of the gopis when it was dark and steal the butter. And this devotee was explaining, to make our heart soft and clean, one has to chant Hare Krishna. And chanting Hare Krishna must also go on in the Brahma Muhurta hours, preferably. Why? Because when we are chanting early in the morning, chanting Hare Krishna is like the churning rod. When you use the churning rod to churn butter, churn the yogurt, then soft white butter comes out of it. Similarly, when we use the churning rod of chanting Hare Krishna to churn our hearts, then our hearts become soft and clean. And if we do it in the early morning hours, Krishna and his cowherd boyfriends are anyways out. Right. Their business at that time is stealing butter. Therefore, this devotee was mentioning, one should try to chant in the early morning hours. Of course, heart will become soft and all that is later. But one will be able to focus one's mind in a better way, because it's the time in the mode of goodness. But what happens if one is fostering envy, chanting Hare Krishna on one end to make the heart soft, and fostering envy on the other hand to make the heart hard? Daruna Chetasa. They don't go hand in hand. Right? And therefore, we see the result of envy is one's heart becomes hard. And the classic example for this is the queens of Maharaj Chitraketu. The queens of Maharaj Chitraketu could not stand the prosperity of Kritadyuti. Kritadyuti, the queen of Maharaj Chitraketu, gave birth to the child Harshashoka. But these ladies, Striyo Daruna Chetasa, burning because of envy, they could not tolerate the advancement and the special attention of the king to Kritadyuti, and therefore they conspired and killed the child. So when one's heart becomes hard, two things happen. Daruna Chetasa has two aspects to it. One is, one cannot appreciate others' prosperity. One cannot appreciate Krishna. One cannot appreciate devotees. And second is, one becomes cruel. Right? Hard-heartedness results into lack of appreciation for others. And later it turns into cruelty. Right. So in the queens of Maharaj Chitraketu, we see both of these things happening. First is, they just could not appreciate Kritadyuti, because Kritadyuti had given a son and they didn't give birth to a child. And later, the same thing went to such an extent that they actually turned physical, were so cruel that they killed the child. And this also happens in a devotee community. Right. Kritadyuti had got the special favor of Maharaj Chitraketu, and therefore she could give birth to a child and others could not. Similarly, in the community of a devotees, sometimes Krishna, it is his prerogative, might choose one of his devotees to give a special favor. And just like Kritadyuti gave birth to a child, similarly a devotee might show a certain opulence of Krishna. Right. But like the other queens, who could not tolerate it, their heart had become hard, Daruna Chetasa, because of envy, and therefore two things, lack of appreciation and cruelty. Similarly, in the community of devotees, when we foster envy and our heart becomes hard, then we cannot tolerate the prosperity of other devotees. If some other devotee is prospering and Krishna is revealing a certain facet of his personality through a devotee, then like the queens, we can't take it. The queen gave birth to a child and a devotee is giving birth to a certain quality of Krishna manifested through him. We can't appreciate it. We can't appreciate Krishna. We can't appreciate Krishna's devotees. In Nasik, we would have our bus party going. And in a bus party, there were beautiful deities of Jagannath, Baldev, Subhadra, Gauranithai. There was a leper, and this leper was sitting close by, so one of our devotees went and gave him prasad. Right. This leper was so envious, so hard-hearted, could not appreciate Krishna, could not appreciate the devotees, took the prasad, spat on the prasad. Can you imagine? Spat on the prasad, threw the prasad on the ground and started rolling and crushing it with his feet. And started looking with great envy towards the deities. Right. Envy towards Krishna, envy towards Krishna's devotee. Hard-heartedness, cannot appreciate anything. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, when he would distribute books, he would first show the book, right? And it had a picture of Radha Krishna on it, and he would first see what is the response. If the response was kind of cool and okay, this is the Western world, he would further preach. If he would see kind of a antagonistic response, he would immediately stop and go away, because just cannot appreciate Krishna. Right. There was a rock star, a famous rock star. He saw Radha Krishna and he said, we should morph the face of Krishna and put my face there. Right. Can you imagine? Envy for Krishna results into envy for his devotees. Hard-heartedness, lack of appreciation, and further it turns into cruelty. Lack of appreciation on part of the queens of Chitraketu turned into cruelty, so much so that they killed the child. Right. Lack of appreciation for the power that Krishna gives to devotees because of hard-heartedness leads to sometimes cruel steps. And Prabhupada, with such faith in his followers, is writing that the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement is to create an organization which will help creating an atmosphere of non-enviousness. Right. But because of hard-heartedness, lack of appreciation, sometimes even in the community of devotees, one can reach to the stage of cruelty.
Right.
This cruelty manifests in dirty politics, and this cruelty sometimes manifests even in terms of physical assaults.
Right.
And our society has seen enough of that, not that it hasn't. Right. Why? Because we have not taken care of the envy within our heart. You see? So, the first result of fostering envy in the heart is Daruna Chetasaha. It makes one's heart hard, and because it makes one's heart hard, two things come about. Lack of appreciation, and if that lack of appreciation continues, and this envy is continued, it one day will result into cruelty in some way or the other, either mental, physical, or verbal. If it's only on the level of the mind, it's still okay. Some people say, what's the problem, you know? I'm not speaking anything wrong to anyone. I'm not doing anything wrong to anyone. After all, it's just a thought in my mind. Jale tailam khale guiham patre danam managapi shastre jnanam swayam eva vistaratah vastu shaktitah. These five things expand on their own, even if they're small. Jale tailam. You take a small drop of oil, just one drop of oil, it's so tiny. Put it on a surface of water and you'll find this drop of water spread everywhere on the surface.
Right.
Khale guhyam.
Right.
Khale guhyam means, tell a secret to a khalanayak, a cruel person.
Right.
And know for sure, it's very small thing, very small little thing you tell. Know for sure that it will spread very soon. That's the nature of a khala. Someone sent me an SMS, you know, and it was written there, three fastest means of communication. What are the three fastest means of communication? First is telephone. Second is television. Third is tell a woman. And fourth is make sure tell her not to tell anyone else. It'll spread even faster. Of course, it doesn't apply so much to devotees. Devotee ladies, not so much applicable. But in general, the nature of a woman is that television, telephone and telewoman. And add, for sure, don't tell anyone.
Right.
It'll spread even faster. Khale guhyam, tell a cruel person a secret and it'll spread like wildfire.
Right.
Patre danam. Give a qualified person charity, even a little bit. It won't stay, it will spread amongst people. Why? Because he'll share with others. Shastre Gyanam. Give a qualified person knowledge and that knowledge will spread because he won't keep, he'll preach. Even little bit knowledge will spread. Manag api. A small anartha in the mind does not stay small. Like a drop of oil on water doesn't stay small. Like a small secret given to a cruel person doesn't stay small. Like a small piece of charity given to a qualified person doesn't stay small. Like a little knowledge given to a qualified man doesn't stay small and preach. It expands. Similarly, a small anartha in the heart does not stay small unless taken care of. Right? Therefore, it expands. Initially, it is passive. Then it turns active. From a mental level, it comes to verbal level. The classic example is that of Daksha Prajapati. It came to verbal level of criticizing Lord Shiva. And Prabhupada writes, he was envious of Lord Shiva. And later, it comes to a physical level. And we have the classic example of the queens of Maharaj Chitraketu. They actually administered poison physically and killed them, resulting into cruelty. Right? The second result of envy is nashtamatayah. Nashtamatayah means one loses all one's intelligence. One cannot see things for what they are. Envy is like a whirlwind. It brings so much dust in your eyes that in spite of things being clear, you are not able to see things. Right. When the whirlwind of envy overwhelms the consciousness, we lose our vision to see things for what they are. When the heart is overwhelmed with envy, we cannot see devotees for what they are. The devotees who are there around us are far greater than us, are far more advanced than us, maybe far more qualified than us. But when the whirlwind of envy overwhelms the consciousness, so what? Who is he? Right. What's the big deal? Maybe gives a good lecture, maybe does some good seva, maybe sings some good kirtan, maybe does some good kicking. So what? Right. So what? When the so what comes in the heart, then we should know that the whirlwind of envy is overwhelming our consciousness and nashtamatayaha. Our intelligence is lost and therefore we cannot see things for what they are. Do we see with our eyes or do we see with our intelligence? We may see with our eyes, but if we do not see with the eyes of our intelligence, then we will not be able to ascertain the position of Vaishnavas around us. We start taking Vaishnavas lightly and what is the result? Adhyatma Bhumi becomes Aparad Bhumi. Right. That bhumi which is meant for spiritual practices becomes the bhumi of aparads, breeds grounds for offenses against devotees. Therefore, the two results of envy are vidvesha nashtamataya striyo daruna chetasa. Daruna chetasa, the heart becomes hard, and secondly, our intelligence is lost. And when intelligence is lost, we cannot see things for what they are. Because we do not see things for what they are, we commit offenses. And ultimately, we fall from our position. Thirdly, what are the characteristics of a person who is envious? Right. One devotee was mentioning, there could be several, but a few that I have jotted down. An envious person can only praise another person if he is inferior to him. This is the barometric test, you know, to find out where each of us stand in our lives. You see, we can only praise someone who is inferior. At most, equal. We won't praise, I'll tolerate them. If someone is less than me, very nice, huh? Very good. You can continue nicely, we can encourage him. If someone is equal, we may have equal strength as we have, then it's hard to praise. Max, we can do only one thing. Tolerate it somehow or the other. But if someone supersedes us, envy does not allow us to
tolerate or praise.
Right.
You see?
So if you want to know what is the extent of envy, then we should see whether we are able to praise all those who supersede us, not in some other traits or other faculties in what we are doing. Right? Like Radhanath Maharaj always explains in his classes that if there is a kirtan singer and if someone is a very good cook, then the kirtan singer has no problem with a good cook. Right? And if someone is a book distributor, he has no problem with the preacher.
Right?
And if someone is a preacher, he has no problem with the manager of the temple. You also be happy, I'll also be happy, because our fields are different fields.
Right?
But as soon as the field is the same, I sing and you also sing.
Right?
So long as you are singing a little less than me, you knew a few tunes.
Right?
And alright, you also knew how to sing but didn't know how to play the harmonium.
Right?
And all others are not saying so much good about you, then it's okay, then I can praise you. But you come equal to me, you also learn the harmonium, you also know the equal number of tunes, and everyone has also started praising you. Tolerance.
Right.
Sahishnuna.
Right.
But as soon as it goes one step further, and he knows more tunes than me, and along with the harmonium, he learned the violin also, and now people are asking him to lead more kirtans than me. Intolerable.
Right.
Intolerable. So that's the first characteristic of an envious person, that he can never praise someone who supersedes him, especially in his field.
Right.
Secondly, he can never train others in a way that the person can go ahead.
Correct.
Everyone in the Krishna consciousness movement takes the role of a leader at some point of time or the other. And as a leader, one is meant to train others.
Right.
What is excellent training? Excellent training means I'll give you best what I have and you go ahead of me.
Right.
That is spiritual world, the competition in the spiritual world. Yadi duram gata krishna vanashobha ikshanayapi aham purvam iti samsprikshare mire. Yadi duram gata krishna, when Krishna goes into the forest far off to see the beauty, vanashobha ikshanaya, all the cowherd boys run. Aham purvam, I'll go and catch Krishna first. Seems like competition. But one is thinking, I will run faster and catch Krishna, so that I'll inspire the other person to run faster than me and catch Krishna.
Right.
Radharani says, oh Krishna, this devotee is better than me, you please accept him. She is the trainer. She is the mistress of bhakti.
Right.
And she trains all of us, she gives us the mercy to serve Krishna. But when we go to Krishna, she says, Krishna holds her hands like this and says, please accept him, he is better than me.
Right.
But what is the characteristic feature of envy? One cannot train others in a way that he can supersede him. Spiritual competition means I will do my level best and inspire and encourage others to go ahead of me. But envy does not allow us to do that. And therefore I will train, but I'll keep a trade secret with me.
Right.
Sab kuch bata dunga, lekin ye jo secret hai na, ye secret bata dunga to wo bhi mere se ek kadam aage badh jayega na. Like our Dauji Priya Prabhu, who takes care of the Gurukul. When I joined 1996, he was telling me one very interesting thing which I still remember. It has not gone from my mind. He said, the place where he used to live, there was a Bhelwala.
Right.
And this Bhelwala, he specialized in a Bhel called Fruit Bhel. He had monopoly in this. I think it was Ghatkopar. People from all over Mumbai, Western Railways, Central Railways, Harbour Line, everyone would come to this place simply to taste this special delicacy called Fruit Bhel.
Right.
And once Dauji Priya Prabhu was talking to this Bhelwala and was asking, what is so special, you know? The puffed rice is the same, the chuda and the shave is the same, everything is the same. What is fruits? Looks like fruits is there. What is the special thing? He said, I can't tell you that. That is my monopoly, trade secret. If I tell you, you will go one step further. Dauji Priya Prabhu anyways found out what it was. It was a chutney made out of poha.
Right.
No one knew this. How can you have poha chutney? But there was some technique by which he would make chutney made out of poha, and that would make this bhel very specially flavored. but he was not willing to give. So that is the result of envy. Can't train others and can't give that trade secret. Why? Because when you go ahead of me, how can I tolerate that? One devotee came to our temple from the west. He was kicked out by the temple president. Poor fellow, burnt out case. And he came and he spoke to the temple president here. And the temple president asked, Shamanpuru asked him, so, you know, why you were kicked out of the temple? You are doing your service properly? He said, yes. Said, why were you kicked out of the temple? He said, I started preaching and was becoming a preacher, getting success in preaching. He said, why? He said, the temple president told me, there is only one president and one preacher here, that is me. Another preacher, I can't tolerate. Get out. Right? You see? An organization which is supposed to, Prabhupada writes, an organization which is supposed to foster non-envy, but cannot tolerate someone going one step further than us. And the third characteristic of a person who is envious is, he cannot live in a place where dependence is demanded. Right? Dependence is a demand. In a Vaishnava community, when we take to Krishna consciousness, there is a tall order that we have to fulfill, and that is to depend on devotees, to depend on the spiritual master, to depend on the mercy of Krishna. Right? But an envious person, why he became envious, we already discussed. The root cause is independent enjoyment of Krishna, and therefore to become dependent, God, it's too much. Right? An envious person is very difficult to be dependent, and if he's showing dependence, it has some ulterior motives behind it, definitely. Right? Cannot depend exclusively on Krishna, Vaishnavas and the Lord's mercy for ultimate upliftment in life. The fourth point is non-enviousness as a qualification for spiritual success. Shamanpuru was giving example once and he was saying that one beggar went to a 5-star hotel, and at the outskirts, at the outside of the 5-star hotel, there was a huge board, huge signboard saying, welcome. The beggar saw this and went to the reception counter. The receptionist said, okay sir, how can I serve you? Said, I have come here to eat and stay in the hotel. Said, really? So, these are the charges. Said, how can you say these are the charges? I just see outside you have written such a board, big board, welcome. Said, yes, everyone is welcome. But also he has to pay the price. Right. Shamanpuru was saying, in the Gita, many places Krishna says, right, Yad gatvana nivartante tad dhama paramam mama, you will come back to my param dham. That is a welcome sign. Golok Vrindavan is a big suswagatam sign. Right. Big welcome sign at its outskirts. Everyone is welcome. Like Jesus said, in the kingdom of my father, both the Jews and the pagans are welcome to sit at the table of my father and have supper. All are the children of God. Everyone is welcome. But because everyone is welcome, we can't just intrude straight in and say, now, you have written welcome in, so I can come and stay in the hotel. No. One has to have the ability to pay the price. So, Shamanpuru was mentioning, Krishna describes in the Gita, a list of those qualities also. He gives the welcome sign, and he also gives the list of qualities that are like the price to go there. One of them is Nirmatsarata, being non-envious. And like our Sudama Puru explains, that if one is envious, what does envy mean? Envy means no vacancy in the spiritual world. Right? N and V. If one is envious, the welcome fine is there, but there is no vacancy for a person in the spiritual realm of Golok Vrindavan. No wonder that when it comes to spiritual qualification, Krishna, in no uncertain terms, makes it very clear, right, about how non-enviousness is a qualification for spiritual progress in two places. In the fourth chapter, he says, my dear Arjuna, I am giving you this transcendental knowledge because you are my bhakta and sakha. Bhaktosi me sakha cheti. Right. But what is a bhakta supposed to be? Oh, now I am devotee, so I am also like Arjuna, so I will also get knowledge. What is that devotee explains in the 9th chapter? Idam tute guhyatamam pravakshami anasuyave. I am giving you this knowledge in the 4th chapter, he says, because you are a devotee. And in the 9th chapter, he says, I am giving you this most confidential knowledge because you are anasuyavi, non-envious. So knowledge, both places knowledge is given. One qualification, bhakta, another qualification, anasuyave. So only when a devotee is anasuyave, then spiritual knowledge will stand in the heart and seep in and assimilate in the heart. Right. Therefore, Pejavar Swami, Vishveshatirtha Swami was explaining that two qualifications are needed for the Lord to appear in the heart. One is freedom from envy and second is freedom from lust, anger and greed. Trividham narakasseva. Trividham. Three things take one to hell. Lust, anger and greed. Three means three. Atri means not three. Right. Jai Shishi Radha Gopinath ji ki jai. Gaur Nitai ki Gopal ji ki jai. Freedom from lust, anger and greed is called atri. Three means three. Atri means freedom from these three. Asuya means envy. And anasuya way, or anasuya means non-enviousness. Atrivishi and anasuya, when they came together, who took birth was the Leela avatar of the Lord Dattatreya. Similarly, when the heart is anasuya, free from envy, and when the heart is free from lust, anger and greed, atri, then the Lord can take birth within our hearts. Therefore, even Bhagavad begins with Dharma Projita Kaitava Atra Parama Nirmat Saranam Satam. Spiritual knowledge comes in the heart of a person who is non-envious. And finally, fifth point, how to deal with envy. All this is good philosophy. Root of envy, result of envy, characteristic of an envious person, qualification, spiritual qualification, non-enviousness. But how does one actually deal with envy? Now there are several ways, but I've listed down at least five different ways in which how one in the way that one can deal with the envy in the heart. The first is, this episode comes in the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and Prabhupada's purport in the verse quoted by Maitreya Rishi is very relevant in this regard. This is the episode of Shatakratu, Maharaj Indra performing 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas. Maharaj Prithu performing 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas. He takes a firm resolve to perform 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas. And Indra's name is Shatakratu. He is the only person who has performed 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas and no one has done it yet. As soon as Maharaj Prithu does it, he thinks, my God, someone again coming equal, maybe he'll go ahead. Can't tolerate. Therefore, we know the story of how Indra comes disguised as a sannyasi and steals the horse, and that whole episode continues. Finally, Indra is praying to Lord Vishnu, please save me. Lord Vishnu appears in the sacrificial arena of Maharaj Prithu. This is the last Ashwamedha Yajna. Several times Indra had tried to catch the horse. Again Maharaj Prithu is performing the Ashwamedha Yajna. Now finally, the last instance, Indra is scared. Vishnu appears in Maharaj Prithu's sacrificial arena and instructs Maharaj Prithu and says, give it up. No problem. He doesn't understand, you understand. Right. And there is a beautiful verse which comes. Sprishantam padayo premana vikriditam svena karmana shatakratum pariswajya vidvesham visasarjaha. As King Indra was standing by, he became ashamed of his own activities, because now Maharaj Prithu had stopped the final fire, Ashwamedha Yajna. And he fell down before King Prithu to touch his lotus feet. But Prithu Maharaj immediately embraced him in great ecstasy and gave up all envy against him for his having stolen the horse meant for sacrifice. Prabhupada says, when Indra was falling at the feet of Prithu, Prithu did not even allow him to fall. Right. Prithu forgave him and embraced him. And Prabhupada says, both King Indra and Maharaj Prithu were envious and angry with each other. But since both of them were Vaishnavas, or servants of Lord Vishnu, it was their duty to adjust the cause of their envy. So the first way of dealing with envy is adjusting the cause of envy. How does one do that? On their own they were not able to do. Lord Vishnu had to come. Prithu was continuing with the sacrifices and Indra was continuing stealing the horses. Lord Vishnu had to intervene to adjust the cause of envy. Similarly, sometimes amongst devotees, due to envy and competition, things go to such an worst extent that he is bent upon what he wants to do and the other devotee is bent upon what he wants to do. Therefore, mediation is required, right? And in ISKCON, now we have to have mediation seminars also, right? Sometimes things go to such an worst extent that mediation is required. Vishnu came and told Prithu Maharaj to take his cause back. Alright, I'll do it. Why? Because Vishnu says so. Sometimes a spiritual master, a senior devotee, a very experienced, mature leader in the Hare Krishna movement has to intervene between the devotees so that the cause of envy can be adjusted and peaceful execution of devotional service can take place amongst these Vaishnavas. Right? So taking help of a senior to adjust the cause of envy, like here we see Lord Vishnu personally coming, intervening and adjusting the cause of envy. Second is, tolerating the envy based on one's intelligence. One should not go by the demands of the mind. The mind can create all kinds of pictures in front of us when you see devotees. And the focus is mainly on what? On the faults.
Right.
Because we are so much driven by envy, we do not see the good, we simply see the faults.
Right.
Prabhupada calls it the housefly mentality. Rather, we should raise ourselves above the platform of the mind and come to the platform of the intelligence. Radhanath Maharaj, when he was asked by one devotee at IIT, how to deal with envy for others, he said there is two ways. One is uprooted by chanting Hare Krishna. It completely purified. Seems like a long way, you know. But till then what? He said, use your intelligence. How does one use one's intelligence? Number one, regularly reading and hearing from the Shastra. What are the ill effects of envy and how it's going to be a hurdle in my spiritual life? Number two, knowing by our intelligence that if any devotee or even any materialistic person is showing some opulence, what is it? Krishna says, Mama Teja Amsha Sambhavat. It is Krishna's opulence, a spark of Krishna's splendor that is being revealed through a devotee or revealed through a rock star or revealed through a cricket star. If we are envious, who are we envious of? We are envious of Krishna. We should use our intelligence to think like that. In envy of Krishna, independence of He brought me here. And if I continue being envious of people and devotees, I am still being envious of Krishna and I am going to stay here forever. Therefore, when Prabhupada gave sannyas to His Holiness Hridayanand Maharaj, He told Hridayanand Maharaj two things.
Right.
Firstly, don't be envious of the opulence of the householders, because you are a sannyasi now. And secondly, do not think that you are missing something in life.
Right.
These are the two instructions He gave. So one has to learn to tolerate. It's not that our heart is going to be free of envy overnight. Like someone came and told me, you know, people dream that aaj bharti aur kal chakravarti. It's not that you come today and get bharti in the army and tomorrow you become chakravarti. Rome was not built in a day. A lot of effort is to be put in order to purify the heart and the consciousness.
Right.
So one must learn how to tolerate it, not express it.
How?
Verbally or physically. But if we don't deal with it, as I said, it is passive in the beginning, small like a drop of oil, expands and then verbally and physically also it comes out. Therefore, one should deal with it by tolerating it with a sharp intelligence, trained by the scriptures, trained by hearing from different devotees. Third way of dealing with envy. This recently one devotee was mentioning, I don't recollect who, very senior Prabhupada disciple. He was saying, this seems to be the only way you can deal with it effectively. And it is so hard, the mind doesn't allow. How to do? Glorifying and serving the person whom we are envious of.
Right.
Very difficult.
Right.
Very difficult. It's easier to love others. It's easier to love those whom we like. It's easier to do good to people whom we love. But to be good to people whom we can't go along with, whom we have envy for is very hard. This is the antidote.
Right.
This is the perfect antidote to deal with envy. Those whom we are envious of, those whom we feel competition for, to glorify them and to serve them in a humble way. This stance of humility is the only way that can help us deal with the envy in the heart. In the 7th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, this is the 4th way, Prahlad says, how one can deal with envy. Different anarthas, he gives different methods. He says, anvikshaya shoka moha udambham mo mahadupasaya yogantaraya maunam cha himsam kamadyanihaya. Shoka moha, to give up lamentation and illusion. Anvikshaya, discuss and study spiritual topics, he says. Dambham mahadupasaya, to give up dambha or pride, one should serve great devotees. Mahadupasaya. Yogantaraya cha maunam cha, to be steady on the path of yoga, one should take to mauna. Of course, our mauna is talking about Krishna, not silence. And he says, himsam kamadyanihaya. He says, if one wants to give up himsa, and here Prabhupada translates himsa as envy, one has to give up sense gratification.
Right.
Why? Why did we come here? Remember the root, to enjoy separately from Krishna. And that caused envy. And if we continue sense gratification, that's going to further foster envy. That's the 4th way. To give up sense gratification. Of course, we don't have to give up sense gratification. We have to engage in spiritual sense gratification. Gratify the eyes, the tongue, the nose, the senses, everything by Krishna conscious subject matters and Krishna conscious things. But that is one solution to give up envy, giving up sense gratification. And the 5th thing, last thing, Radhanath Maharaj explains how Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that the demon in Vrindavan Leela which represents envy is Kaliya.
Right.
And when Krishna started dancing on the hoods of Kaliya, all the poison started coming out.
Right.
And at a certain point of time, all the poison had come out and Kaliya had been purified.
Correct.
But after Kaliya, all the poison had come out. Kaliya now realized, oh wow, the person whom I am dealing with is not an ordinary person, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because no one can dance like this and bring about such a result in my life. And Acharya explained, how did he come to know? Because regularly his wives had spoken to him about Krishna, but envy had not allowed him to take to Krishna seriously. Now that the envy had gone out, suddenly these thoughts came up and he took shelter of Krishna. So Radhanath Maharaj is explaining that when one chants the holy name, what are we doing? We are inviting Krishna to come in our heart. And our envy, Kaliya represents envy. Our envy is like Kaliya in our hearts. When the holy name comes and dances, if we are sincerely allowing Krishna to dance, sincerely chanting Hare Krishna, then all the poison of envy will come out.
Right.
We'll be purified of all the envy within our heart. And then what should we do? At that stage, we'll start feeling a soft corner for Krishna, for devotees, because envy is being purged out of the heart now. Why? Constantly we have heard from devotees. Look at how important hearing is. Kaliya could realize about Krishna, how great he is, only because he had heard from Kaliya's wives. And therefore we should never give up preaching. Even if a person is antagonistic, we may just sow some seed at a certain point of time when life has another picture to show him.
Right.
And all of these things will be purged out. He will become favorable to Krishna consciousness. So these are the 5 things based on which we can deal with our envy in our heart. So today we discussed about envy, the root cause of envy, the results of envy, the characteristics of a person who is envious, non-enviousness as a qualification to advance spiritually, and finally, 5 different ways of how to deal with envy. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So since it's already late, I won't take questions. Anyone has any questions, you can ask me personally. And sorry if I've spoken beyond my realization. Just noted down things and spoken. I'm not non-envious or anything. So all of you can pray and bless that I also can deal with it in a proper way. Hare Krishna. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande.